and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Mania. I'm Michael, and as always, our defending champion, the one, the only, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hello.
Oh, man. It feels good to get back into that bi-weekly groove again.
After a month off.
Yes. Heading into, actually, why don't we just tell people about a little minor change that we're doing to the show that we're talking about?
Well, this is mainly for the Twitch viewers, which is we're going to be taking little interstitials between each segment. It shouldn't affect the VOD too much because they should get cut out. But when it comes to the Twitch VOD, just so between sections we can get drinks or take a pee or despair over the state of WWE. I'm not sure.
And of course, for those who are listening to us via audio only, you won't notice any differences at all because it'll mostly just be a pause and then go right back into the recording. So, starting off with news and notes. Ben, what major news do you feel has come out in the last 2 weeks, your last on Awesome Meet?
Quite a bit. I mean, there's the it's been very widely publicized that today, at least, it has come out that Sean Spears, previously known as Ty Dillinger, openly told Vince McMahon to his face that he was insulting the intelligence of wrestling fans before Sean left and signed for AEW. Yeah.
See, I haven't read any of the news of today. So that is definitely news to me. But I'm not surprised by it either.
Yeah.
Especially with all like the rumors that we've been hearing about the strife backstage, especially with how Triple H is probably the most frustrated man back there. So, and of course, Sean Spears signing yesterday officially with AEW.
He'd been signed before that, but it was put in Cody's little fucking video thing yesterday, I think.
They made it official
yesterday. Yeah.
AEW, well, one thing I saw when we hopped on was, because we were doing the tweets to promote the show, AEW All Out, Moxley versus Omega.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of saw that one coming after what happened with Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Not surprised, but definitely a match that will be good to see, especially with what Moxley's been doing in New Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should also talk, since we're talking New Japan, we should talk about the end of the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, which saw my boy Will winning that, and then Dominion taking the junior heavyweight title off of Dragon Lee. At Dominion. That's...
Yeah,
hell of a match that Ospreay and Shingo had in the final. Hell of a match. I recommend tracking it down if you can.
It's most likely up on YouTube by now. So.
Maybe not officially.
I know it was a little hard for me to find the Moxley Juice Robinson match initially, and then I was able to find the full match, which that was a good match.
There are places that you can locate these things if you are willing to look.
Speaking of Moxley, did you listen to the Jericho podcast?
Nope. See, here's the thing you have to understand, right? While I love wrestling, the reason I love wrestling is because I don't throw myself into it to the point where I'm listening to like 9 different podcasts and I'm watching 6 different promotions. And I watch a couple of promotions. I catch WWE stuff on YouTube. I watch NXT, NXT UK. And that's fucking it.
So I don't listen to podcasts often, or if at all. But when I saw some of the quotes from Moxley from that podcast, it made me want to listen. One of the things that I found interesting was the fact that he actually paid $8,000 out of his own pocket to make that video that was released on May 1st. That I thought was really cool, and now it is apparently is turning into it. He's now working to turn that into a full-length feature film.
Okay.
So, I find that interesting because earlier this week, or first off over the weekend, and then on Monday, during right before Raw, Leo Rush was trying to do the same, but got the reverse effect of what Moxley got with his video.
Mm-hmm.
So, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Leo's contract will most likely be up in August. He's not doing himself any favors by putting out these videos.
I think he's kind of already checked out. The WWE are kind of clear that have made it kind of clear that they don't care about him anymore. Like,
but so that was that. We'll talk about Fyter Fest in the next segment.
Yeah,
because there's been some really cool developments coming out of it that I've actually been enjoying. Talk about stories that you didn't think you'd have going into it. NXT, we have a tournament that was announced yesterday,
mm-hmm.
which is the NXT Breakout Tournament.
It was announced on TV yesterday. The first round of it taped yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. All 8 people who will be participating have not been on NXT TV yet.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals are, want me to do the WWE name and then you can do the indie name?
Given that I don't know their indie names, because, again,
don't care. Well, not don't care.
It's not that I don't care, it's just
too much.
I just got used to saying the word Bugenhagen, and that's not his fucking name anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. So you have Jordan Miles from the ACH versus Boa.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Swerve.
Who's Boa?
It doesn't say who he used to be. It just, from what I'm reading right here, this is Jordan Miles, the former ACH versus Boa. Doesn't say who he used to be. Isaiah Swerve Scott, formerly Shane Strickland.
Yep.
Cameron Grimes, the former Trevor Lee, and along with Bronson Reed, the former Jonah Rock. Dexter Lumis, the former Sam Shaw. Angel Garza, the former Garza.
Wait, they called him Dexter Lumis?
Yes.
They took a character that's based on Dexter and called him Dexter.
Yes. Grade A originality right there.
I smell Vince McMahon's hand in this.
Angel Garza, the former Garza Jr., and then Joaquin Wild, the former DJZ. And your first matchup, first round matchup, would be Jordan Miles versus Boa, Isaiah Scott versus Cameron Grimes, Bronson Reed versus Dexter Lumis, Angel Garza versus Joaquin Wild.
Uh huh.
So this is how they're going to be introducing a lot of the talent coming into NXT, which is an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's not your, like, typical, oh, we're going to have him sitting at ringside at a takeover type introduction.
Mm.
We're accustomed to. Although they did do that with, no, they didn't do it with Strickland. Correction. They didn't do it with any of those talents, actually, where they had him sitting at ringside. So.
Correct.
So this would actually be, like, the legit first time we see them on NXT TV completely. So, I mean, it's an interesting way to debut them on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, here's my thing with that. And I know that I'm not being very communicative, right? But... they're all of varying levels of talent in the ring. Right? You have your Shane Stricklands and your ACHs and your DJZs, who are all phenomenal in-ring talents. Then you have your Samu Shaws. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be fun to watch. Especially the fact that what they announced is that the winner of the tournament will get a title shot of their choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it, actually, it could be any of the three, the tag team, the North American, or the NXT title. Although I don't see the tag team title really being the one that gets chosen. But, I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to watch how it turns out.
Mm.
NXT UK yesterday, it was unveiled that Alexander Wolf officially joined Walter's faction.
Ringkampf, yep.
So.
Or not Ringkampf. Just so happens to be three members of Ringkampf and Alexander Wolf. So, I don't know. I think they're being called Invincible or something, or Indomitable. I can't remember. It's just, but they're basically ring camp.
Apparently, for Super Showdown, everyone was really pissed off about the heat, especially the guys in the 50-man battle royal.
Heat, as in the heat, or the heat, as in the fact that everyone hated the event.
We could go with both.
Okay, good to know.
Everyone hated the 100-degree heat with the humidity, and they also did not enjoy doing the event because it was poorly booked.
Mm. So, we'll get to that.
Yeah. But it was news. Rumors about Renee Young being mistreated in Saudi Arabia were shot down by Renee Young herself because they're claiming that she was being berated by Saudi officials and stuff like that backstage.
Yeah, but there was that one moment, wasn't there? On air.
I can't remember. So I'm sorry.
Right at the beginning of the event, they introduced the Saudi Arabian commentary team,
yeah.
Right? And it's Corey Graves. And Corey does a really good job introducing them. And the very first thing the Saudi Arabian dude says on the microphone is, wow, I thought Renee was going to butcher that. Okay, first thing. If you're in a country that's well known for beheading people, maybe don't use the word butcher. Second of all, why is the person not throwing to you getting the shit here? Is it possibly because you're a bunch of back-ass fucking women-hating cock rags that when the WWE tried to put on a women's match threatened to fucking explode because the idea of two women having a fucking wrestling match in 2019 is too much for you assholes. You're talking about a country where women only got the right to drive last year. You want to sort out your fucking PR? don't do shit like that on major sporting events with one of the two or three American companies are willing to do fucking business with you. Cunt. And I don't use the C word lightly.
You, and I can attest to that. I don't hear you use that word usually ever. So. That was fun.
That's when I turned it off.
See, I had it on the background for me, and I only paid attention to the stuff that I felt that was important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which was obviously Rollins, Corbin, the attempted cash-in, and Finn versus Andrade. Those are the only three things I actually... Oh, and Kofi versus Zayn. So four things. There are four things that I kind of care about. Mm-hmm. Outside that, didn't really give a shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you couldn't help but not want to watch the train wreck movie. Which people were saying they're surprised it went more than 4 minutes.
You say you could help but not watch the train wreck. I still haven't. I haven't watched other up to the point where that right at the beginning happens. I was just like, no.
Done.
No.
Just done. Game over. Ended.
Everything else I know about the event has come from news sites or YouTube blogs or places like Cultaholic.
This, the average match time was around 11 minutes. The Battle Royal was 17. The Triple H Orton match was the longest match, almost close to 30 minutes. But the matches generally averaged around 11 minutes long for the event. I honestly thought Finn versus Andrade was the best. And the fact that it was around 12 minutes was about the right amount of time because you can tell, like I mentioned, the heat, the 100 degree heat. Finn's paint was just gone in like the first few minutes because he was sweating profusely. So you want to take the first break now and then we go into the Spider-Fest showdown?
There is one other piece in these I do want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about now. This is more for the New Japan fans out there. There was a very big hubbub online, or people who don't know about New Japan, more accurately. And Michael's just gone. Oh, there he is. I looked over and you were just gone.
Yeah,
there's
something on the floor, so I had to move it real quick.
Now, at the end of Dominion, there was a rumbling of discontent amongst the crowd. Now, I know that you hear a lot that the NXT, the New Japan crowd is very different, and they value different things, and this is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to point out that not one of them was booing because of they thought it was a bad show. For those of you that know what happened, Okada wrestled Chris Jericho for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and after the match, Jericho beat the shit out of Okada. Absolutely beat the shit out of him. To the point where Okada had to be helped to the back. And they set up a match between Jericho and Tanahashi further down the line. The reason why there was this big hubbub is it is tradition in Japanese wrestling that the winner of the main event gives an in-ring promo and shouts out the crowd and the city they're in and that kind of thing. And because that didn't happen, the crowd were upset. It wasn't that they thought that the event was bad. It was heel heat on Chris Jericho for depriving them of their promo. Just wanted to talk about that a little bit. And I feel that that needed to be highlighted because it's been a while since there's been something like that, you know? Yeah, so
it's just something that they're not accustomed to.
Yeah.
And when something breaks the norm, they don't really know how to react to that in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's completely out of the blue, as it were.
Right.
So seeing that and that happening was why I just wanted to talk about that for a minute because I feel that it needed highlighting because that's some awesome heel heat.
And Jericho has been really good at generating that, especially in New Japan.
Mm.
Yeah, he's really, like, New Japan has breathed new life into Jericho to a point where he's been able to reinvent himself completely. Because especially in Japan, they're able to get away with, like, middle fingers, cursing, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it's been able to elevate him in his metamorphosis as a character. It's been fun to watch.
It's quite funny that you bring that up. Because there was a conversation recently about the various stages of Jericho's career. And he might be the freshest for the longest. Like most people who've had a career as long as Chris Jericho's have found one gimmick and they stuck with it the whole way. And it's whereas Jericho keeps reinventing himself. Quite interesting.
Yeah,
anyway, we can take that break now and
all right.
Come back for the Fighter Fest discussion. So,
all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll be talking about AEW Fighter Fest coming up in like 2 weeks, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
So we'll be right back, everybody. And, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesome Mania, where Ben and I had a debate about Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
Baja Blast tastes like ass.
I like it. It goes great with my Taco Bell. But anyways.
Doesn't go well with anything but more ass.
So, as we alluded to before going to the break, we're going to be talking about AEW Fighter Fest. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier before that, there's been one thing that's been really intriguing me about Fighter Fest, which is coming up. And that's the fact that there's been this storyline that's been brewing out of announcements that took place that stated that as long as you have a subscription to Bleacher Report Live,
yep,
you will get Fighter Fest for free.
Yes.
Which I think is awesome.
It's actually not true. When Dave reported on that, he was misinformed, and you don't even need the subscription.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, well then Cody also misinformed because he even said that all you had to do was just sign up for a subscription and then, you know, or sign up for an account, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a difference between needing an account and needing a subscription.
Yeah, you just need an account.
Yeah.
Get it for free.
Yes. You don't need what Uncle Dave said is you needed to pay for Bleacher Report. That's not true. What you need is just to be able to log into their website.
Yep.
Those are two different things.
Yep, 100%. Now,
much like a shot not taken.
I love you too, buddy.
Uh-huh.
But one of the interesting things that came out of this announcement by Cody Rhodes about being able to watch Fyter Fest for free is the now storyline that you're getting out of Chris Jericho, who wasn't even scheduled to be on the card.
Yep.
Because Chris Jericho is now stating that, you know, that the Young Bucks and Cody, they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. And, you know, he's refusing to come to Fyter Fest. And then, like, a couple of days later, Fozzy announces on Twitter, you know, we can't deal with this incompetence. We're not going to be performing at Fyter Fest. To then Corey Taylor of Slipknot announcing on Twitter saying, I have to stand united with my brothers. I'm not coming to Fyter Fest off as well. You just created a whole new storyline just because it's going to be free on the.
Did they though? They created advertising, sure. What's the storyline?
The storyline is really based on Jericho.
Okay, but what is the storyline?
To me, the storyline is...
Explain to me the plot and the payoff.
So, I think the plot is that you're creating the divisiveness now between Jericho and the so-called Zex. Because remember how you talked about for Double or Nothing about Brandy being the heel authority?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that it was like, no, you shouldn't do that. It's kind of putting that in reverse. It's putting a heel against, like, in per se, the authority. And that's the storyline that I'm taking out of it. Now, what the payoff is, I don't know. But it could be something where that leads to Jericho eventually showing up at Fyter Fest.
Wait, but they already had the storyline of Jericho and the... Huh?
Or they're enhancing it then.
Okay. Because Jericho's already been doing the thing of, I'm the reason the AEW is so over. When I beat Kenny Omega at Double or Nothing, the EVPs are going to have to say thank you to me.
Which they haven't, which Jericho...
Again, but the point is that storyline was already in place. So they haven't created a new storyline. They are enhancing a storyline. Yeah. Again, two different things.
Yep. No, I'm admitting that because I even went, no, that's enhancing. So it's enhancing the storyline. I think the payoff could be something where Jericho comes in and sabotages the show, which I think would be interesting to see. Because we're used to the face coming in against the authority and trying to sabotage the show. Like with Austin with the beer truck, or Seth Rollins coming in during NXT TakeOver. You know, to try to get the Triple H, you know, but we never seen a heel go after the authority in that manner. What would a heel do in that case? That is something I'm interested in.
I don't think that's Jericho's style at this point. You know, the character Jericho's playing at the moment is very much the I'm not going to show up unless there's something in it for me.
Right. And I just pulled up the card for Fyter Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the record, it is Saturday, June 29th.
Okay.
Is when Fyter Fest will take place in Daytona Beach. So matches that we have. Actually, look at the calendar real quick. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we got a show right before Fyter Fest. So matches that we have are Jabali versus Michael Nakazawa in a hardcore match. The Elite, which is the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega versus Rey Fénix, Pentagon Jr., and a mystery partner.
Yep.
Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin. Moxley's AEW in-ring debut versus Joey Janela. A fatal four-way match between Hangman, Adam Page, MJF, Jungle Boy, and Jimmy Havoc.
Yep.
And then you have Nyla Rose versus Riho versus Yuka Sakazaki.
Two of the people that were in that six-man that I wasn't a fan of.
I saw yeah. the whole thing because I can't find it. So. But oh, and then, of course, the match that was also recently announced, Christopher Daniels versus Cena.
Yep.
So they're continuing their...
Was that announced for Fyter Fest or was that announced for All Out?
That was announced for Fyter Fest yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. Because apparently they're building off of their storyline of the SCU versus the OWE guys.
Yep.
Because SEMA was part of that six-man tag match at Double or Nothing. And apparently SCU actually traveled to... China in
like the months leading up to it, yeah.
To kick it off, yeah.
Is that was all over being the Elite?
Yeah. So this is obviously a continuation of that whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
OWE versus SCU. So yeah, pretty. Actually, I really can't wait for honestly the Fatal Four Way.
I see. Here's the thing. It depends on what version of the Fatal Four Way rules they use.
This is true because, as we learned, the six man tag match is not a tag match.
Well, no, but they also do. They're also doing things like you have a 10 count to get in and out of the ring in tag matches and stuff like that. I think this could be match of the night. Yeah. Mainly because it's got Jimmy Havoc in it. And I'm an unabashed Jimmy Havoc mark. Ever since I got to hang out with him in Philly. I was a big fan of his to begin with, but fuck me.
I've always been a big fan of MJF.
Yeah, oh, no, don't get me wrong. I like MJF. I like all the other people in this match, which you'll... see coming up in our final segment. But we all know Adam Page is going to win the match because he's going on to face Jericho for the fucking AEW title. Unless that's where Jericho shows up and costs Adam Page. Right?
Yeah.
Unless that's what happens, Paige is winning that match. But yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think that'll be a match of the night. I think Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes would be a solid match.
I think it'll be a solid match. I'm not sure if it'll be match of the night.
I'm not saying it'll be match of the night. I'm just saying it'll be a solid
match. I mean, but it has the potential to be match of the night for sure, but
I think a match that it won't be match of the night, but it'll be a match that everyone's going to talk about is Moxley and Janela.
Oh, everyone's going to talk about that match for sure
because
one of them may end up being dead.
And when we say one of them may end up being dead, we are referring to Janela.
Yeah, they're going to do some stupid stuff in that match.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about it, though, is since Moxley has returned to doing the graps, he's not really done the hardcore stuff that he was known for before he went away. So this is going to be the first time that we're going to see him in what could degenerate into a hardcore environment. Because that's Janela's wheelhouse as well.
Yeah. Well, we technically did that with the Juice match.
But it wasn't an ODQ match. It wasn't a... let's get out all these fucking weapons and kill each other match. Right? Which is what he was kind of known for as John Moxley before. There's doing heely things and doing stuff with tables that you can't actually get disqualified for. And then there's like picking up a kendo stick and wailing someone in the head 25 times.
Right. Yeah, but as of right now,
though, as I've said many times this recording, two different things.
But as of right now, though, the Janela Moxley match is a straight up single.
Yeah, it's probably not staying that way. Let's be fair.
I agree. But it's also kind of, it's also interesting that you have those two go up against each other, and then you have the hardcore match with Jabali and...
Well, the Jabali thing is a continuation of CEO last year, where Jeb Bailey had a match against Michael Nakazawa, beat him. So this year, Michael Nakazawa wanted a rematch in a hardcore environment, because last year, Bailey cheated to beat him. So.
And for those of us who did not know that, we now know that. Knowledge is power.
Yep.
So, Fyter Fest, we can do predictions for that next.
We'll do that next time, yeah.
Next episode, we'll definitely do predictions, which will be our first official AEW predictions.
Yeah, because we didn't do them for Double or Nothing, did we?
No, because we were still on break.
Mm-hmm.
We came back after Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Because we did the TakeOver prediction.
Yes. Speaking of...
We got predictions to go over, I believe.
We do.
Yes.
I'm hoping you wrote them down. To put it bluntly, I won.
Yeah, you probably did.
No, there's no probably about it. I won. Thanks, Street Profits.
Yeah, no.
Thanks, Shaney B. Because you predicted that... let's just go through the card and we'll say what we predicted and we'll talk about the matches. Is this our third segment or is this part of segment two?
Yeah, we'll make it part of segment two.
All right. So we need another segment for segment three.
Segment three is technically a fantasy book.
What's segment four then?
There was no segment four. I had three segments written.
Okay. Well, we'll just make segment two longer.
Yeah.
All right. This is good. Go on in.
All right. I thought we had it on the...
Oh, I haven't updated the spreadsheet, mate.
Oh. All right.
That's why I was saying I hope you've written down.
All right, give me a second.
Right. So the first match was Matt Riddle beating Roddy Strong. We both had Riddle for this one.
Yes.
Because reasons.
Well, we originally thought that there was going to be shenanigans. We thought it originally. It was something.
Yes.
But none of that actually happened.
Yep. And then there was the ladder match, which is the Street Profits versus Lorcan and Birch versus the Undisputed Era. Versus the Forgotten Sons.
Yep.
You had the Forgotten Sons.
Yep.
I had Street Profits. That's 2 points to me, 1 point to you.
Great ladder match, though.
Fantastic match. I'm fairly sure that they killed Kyle O'Reilly 9 times in that match.
I think they also killed Bobby Fish at least 6 times.
In that he came out in a sling at the end, so...
I like the moment, like somebody put up on Twitter Mauro Ranallo finally said, "My God, they killed Kyle."
Yeah.
And like somebody tweeted, I was like, I wonder how long Mauro's been waiting to say that.
Yeah.
Since the debut of the Undisputed Era.
Fifth match was Velveteen Dream defeating Tyler Breeze.
Third match.
Yeah, so I say fifth match because it was the fifth match, but it was the third match on the card.
Right.
The other two were pre-tapes. You had Velveteen Dream in this one.
Yep.
I had Tyler Breeze. Though I would argue Tyler Breeze was the overall winner in this match.
I agree with
that. Because after 4 years of being misused on the main roster, he came down and put on one of the best singles matches ever.
Oh, he went back like he was never on that main roster.
Yeah.
Like he was having those quality matches.
Yeah. I like I said, I would argue that Tyler Breeze was still the winner in this match.
Oh, I am right there with you. Like
even if he didn't walk away with the belt.
I liked how they, like, after the match is over, they got together for the, like, the self-respect between the two.
The selfie respect.
The selfie respect, yeah. They become a tag team. That'll be their tag team.
I would like to see them team up a bit. I would. Then we had Shayna Baszler defeating Io Shirai. I had Big Bad Chaney B.
And I had Io Shirai.
Yeah. So right now it is 4-2.
Yep.
And then, aren't you glad this main event
that you talked me to change my pick?
Because otherwise it would have been 5-2. It would have been a stomping, mate.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta get stomped, you know?
And here's why I went, yeah, when we talked about shenanigans earlier, because I loved the fake out at the end of this match where Adam Cole mocked calling for the Undisputed Era and they didn't come out, and then he just whooped Johnny Gargano's ass.
Yeah, it was like that distraction was perfectly timed.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was a really solid match. Like,
yeah.
I think the general consensus that we can always say is that we're never disappointed when we watch TakeOver.
Yeah. The only bad thing about that match, well, there were two bad things about that match. Adam Cole's entrance getting wrapped over.
Yeah, I did not enjoy that.
Just let that music be, man. Just let the Undisputed Era be the Undisputed Era music. Like,
I get what they're trying to do.
That shit is sacred. Oh, yeah, me too.
I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to do something special for Adam Cole. But not only that, but it also, in a way, also gave you the false sense that he was going to lose. Because every time somebody play them out, they tend to lose.
The other thing is like, oh, there is a third segment, by the way. Us talking about Super Showdown.
I thought we did that already, but okay.
No, we talked about news from Super Showdown, yeah. but
not the actual thing.
Yeah. The other thing is that he didn't kick Johnny Gargano's ass harder. I'm very outspoken about the fact that I'm a massive Adam Cole fan. Like a massive Adam Cole fan. And I am so happy to see him hold that title. I want, again, by the end of the year, I want the Undisputed Era to be holding every belt in the company. Or every belt in in NXT. Hell, fuck it. Every belt in the company. On every show.
They're going to have all three tag team belts.
All three tag team belts.
Roddy's going to have
world titles. All three mid-card titles. The 205 Live title. Like, just...
Fuck it. Let's get the UK title in there, too. Their tag team titles.
Have them recruit a woman and win all of the fucking women's titles.
Well, they almost did at the beginning, remember? When they first debuted...
Yeah.
And they used Tenaya Conti, like a conduit to get to Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
Like, they almost did at one point.
Who would they recruit? Wouldn't it be amazing if it was Candice?
That would be a massive.
Like, hear me out. Hear me out, right? Cole Gargano 3. The Undisputed Era rundown. They're causing havoc. Here comes fucking Candice, right? And she's got a fucking chair. And she just turns around and waffles Gargano. Oh, yes! Make it happen.
And then that will become one of those moments where you see him on Twitter trying to, like, hide all the chairs in the house.
Yeah.
Kind of like when the Festival of Friendship happened. And he's put TV away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That would be great. But yeah, I got my ass handed to me in the predictions. But
you're ruined, dude. Let's be
fair. I got wrecked. You know, you need to say this line that I haven't heard you say in a while.
Get wrecked, nerd.
And wrecked I was. And wrecked.
Yeah, but just imagine he's standing there and like Jonathan Q wrestling Gargano is all like, ah, and down comes fucking Candice LeRae. And she's got the chair, and everyone's going, yeah, Candice is going to save
Johnny.
And then she just fucking nails him. Sorry, love, just business. And then Candice W. Wrestling Gargano LeRae joins the Undisputed Era. It'd be amazing.
Oh, man. But of course, unfortunately, we have to wait until TakeOver Toronto.
I mean, who are the other options? The only other one I could see is maybe Deonna.
Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
Because, like, Vanessa Bourne and Aaliyah are already in a tag team, yep. Right? Zia Lee and Dakota Kai are doing a thing. Or is it Zia Lee and Mia Yim? Can't remember.
No, I think Mia's going solo.
Well, but they are also a tag team.
Yeah.
So the options are Candice, Deonna, or Casey.
And actually, an interesting one is that if you read the spoilers for NXT last night...
I have not, and I don't want to know.
Okay. There was an interesting development with the women's cage match.
I'm sure there was.
So, your thing about Candice... I'll just leave it at that. End of story. Game over.
So, in our next segment, because we are going to take a bit of a break... We are going to talk Super Letdown, Showdown. And we're going to talk about how NXT TakeOver 25 was a better show than Double or Nothing.
Yep. Because I know that is something that you've been wanting to talk about.
Yeah.
If TakeOver happens. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll be right back. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesome Mania. Where we are going to be talking about the Super Letdown WWE Super Showdown. We shit on it a little bit at the beginning because we were going over like some of the news and notes about it. But now we get to go into the skinny of it.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of just want to start with the matches and just kind of
let it. Well, first I want to talk about using the name Super Showdown, right? Because we talked about this a little bit with Jordan and I, while we were doing a Diablo stream. But it was very interesting to me that in the lead up to Super Showdown, they were being very hesitant to say Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. They were just saying Jeddah. Also, rather than using Crown Jewel or Greatest Royal Rumble, they used the title of the show they did last year in Australia.
Yep.
Which was annoying. Kind of, if I was the Australians, I wouldn't have been happy, should we say?
I think the reason they did that is because they might try to make that their major pay-per-view in other countries.
Hmm.
I think that's why they did it. So, like, last year, Super Showdown was in Australia. This year, it was in Saudi Arabia. The next one could be, you know, Japan or something like that. So,
well, there is a WWE Japan coming up.
Yes.
Which,
I just threw Japan out there because
it was... But no, the just before we get on to talking about Super Showdown, have you watched any of the stuff for WWE Japan?
No.
Right.
But so I do know, but I have seen what the cards are going to look like.
Okay. So the main event is one of these main events you will only ever see on one of these shows. It's Drew, Bobby, Elias, and someone else. Who was the other member of Three Man Bland? Drew.
Jinder.
No, that was Three Man Band.
It was shit. I'm blanking. It was McIntyre, Bobby,
Samoa Joe.
Oh,
well, it's Samoa. In the match, it is Samoa Joe.
Yeah,
and they are taking on AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson, who can't get a spot on fucking SmackDown to wrestle, but sure as shit they can headline a show in Japan. And Triple H. Now, I don't know whether you saw...
I saw the tweet by Tamatonga.
The promo.
Oh, I didn't see the promo.
The promo. So they recorded a promo promoting the fact that Triple H was joining the Faces. Right? And it's Triple H in a business suit, sat in a throne. That is an exact copy of the one that Cody destroyed at Double or Nothing. An exact copy. And there's a ton of conversation going around about whether it was recorded before Double or Nothing.
Or
and AEW realized they needed to wreck that throne, or if he's had it made since Cody wrecked it, just to give Cody the finger. Anyway, let's get back to Super Showdown.
Yeah. All right. So, matches. Kickoff show, you had the Usos versus the Revival. I did not
see... I heard this was a good match.
I did not see this match because I didn't watch any of the kickoff. Because
I heard this was a very good match.
Knowing that it's the Usos and the Revival, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, like, they're two of the best tag teams on the planet, right? Like, yeah. And they were given, what, 10 minutes?
Something
like that. I want to say 10 minutes?
Yeah, something like that on the kickoff show. Yeah.
Let me double check something.
Because, unfortunately, when Super Showdown was initially going on, I was doing this thing called At Work.
Yeah. Because it happened at like noon our time.
Yeah, the kickoff show started at 1 p.m., which is right when I came back from my lunch break. And the show itself started at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
I know that we talk a lot about how Dave Meltzer's star ratings are not the be-all and end-all of everything.
Yep.
But... I think it is worth noting that they do exist, and this was given 2.5 stars
by Meltzer.
By Meltzer. Bear in mind that the highest rated thing on the show was Andrade Finn to 3.25. And three matches got 2.5. One match got 2.25. One match got 2. One match got 1.75. One got 1.5, and there were two duds on the show. So, then again, when it comes to Dave and the WWE main card, grade low. He grades low. NXT, he grades through the roof. But, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, the Usos won that match.
NXT deserve it. What? What?
What? So, Usos won it. Then to start off the main card, you had Baron Corbin versus Seth Rollins for the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Solid about 11 to 12 minute match. I kind of enjoyed this match, but yet again, I'm a fan of Corbin and Rollins, so I
you might be the only Baron Corbin fan on the planet.
I probably am, and I've accepted that fact. So, but I'm not the president of his fan club because he has no fan club.
I would disagree with that. I do believe that you were at one point christened the president of the Baron Corbin fan club.
No, you christened me the president of the Eva Marie fan club because of an audio flub.
Yeah, but Eva Marie isn't around anymore. But we can, if you want.
Nope.
Go back to calling you the head of the... You need to be glad I did not bring that up at AwesomeCon. Just saying.
Oh, God. That would actually have been a great running gag the entire weekend, man, because I kept running into people throughout the entire weekend at AwesomeCon after the panel.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins would obviously retain the title, which then after the match, Brock Lesnar would come out with Paul Heyman, only for Paul Heyman to trip over the ropes as entering and dropping the briefcase, thus distracting Brock Lesnar and having Seth Rollins low blow him and beat him repeatedly with the briefcase.
That
I actually enjoyed that because everyone thought Lesnar was just going to come in and just take the title. And it didn't happen. And it happened in a funny way, too. It happened with an accident. So.
No, that was planned.
Accident.
Okay.
You know. Yes. I mean, we know it was planned, but when it played out on television, it
yes.
was like an accident.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Next up, you had Finn Balor versus Andrade. Finn was in the demon paint. As I mentioned earlier in the show, literally minutes into the match, the demon paint was gone because of how fucking hot it was there. But I think these two had a really solid match. This was actually one where I kind of put everything to the side and actually watched the match because this is the match that I mm-hmm. actually deemed the match of the night for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fairly common.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing of note,
and it wasn't just because of Finn, it was also because of Andrade.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're two wildly talented people.
Yeah.
I will, however, say, I don't get it. I don't get what makes Finn bring out the demon.
Well, apparently for the case of this one, the Saudi money.
Well, yeah, I know that's what it... I mean, like, there should be some sort of logical story to it, right?
See, and he had that for the most part in NXT about why he would bring out the demon. But since
Royal Rumble, he was like, I'm going to fight Brock Lesnar, but I'm not going to use the undefeated demon for some reason.
I think because of that storyline wise, he was going to lose, and I think they didn't want to.
Yes, but that doesn't make. That's your booking reason, right? There needs to have been a. Like, you have him beat fucking Finn up 3 weeks in a row in the lead up, and you go, oh, the demon's too scared to face Brock Lesnar, right? Much like Hulk and Thanos, right? Just give me a reason why Finn didn't just go, well, I'm just gonna become the demon and win the title. Like, the booking reason, the behind the scenes reason is they didn't want the demon to lose, right? That's fair. Give me a reason on screen
to not bring him out. Yeah, and they didn't. But I think the
just
whole...
Just have a promo where Paul Heyman's like, what are you, chicken? Can't beat Brock Lesnar without your fucking face paint? Just something as simple as that. Like,
but I think also the bigger problem is that since he came to the main roster and how they've utilized his demon character has been fucked up since day one. Because, like, when they were going... Like, when he went on to the Universal match at SummerSlam with Seth Rollins, like... They should have never had him come out in the demon paint on Raw before. Huh. They shouldn't. They should have teased it. And they should have, like, have the music go off and have the smoke go off, but don't have the demon come out. Have it come out at SummerSlam. And it's like, so to me, on the main roster, they kind of fucked up the demon. And even Balor has openly admitted, because he's done it so irregularly now, it takes him a while to get back into that groove, the demon character.
Yeah.
But Finn would win the match.
Also, again, we could then, if we really wanted to, talk about the fact that there is no demon character. It's just Finn Balor in face paint. Like, it doesn't wrestle any different. It doesn't. The only thing we get occasionally is he does a weird way of getting in the ring and coming down the ramp. That's all the demon is at this point. Like, if he wrestled differently to Finn, that I could understand. Oh, yeah.
It would definitely be a game changer on that.
But to say it's hard for me to get into the demon character, what? It's your normal moveset, you fucking twat.
No, I think, well, no, his comments were more geared towards, like, doing the entrance, doing those.
But that's not hard. That's an hour of practice.
But Finn would win the match.
One day, just before the fucking pay-per-view, before you go backstage to get your paint on, you just run the intro a couple of times. No freaking problem. This takes me too long to get into character things. Bollocks.
Next up,
as an actor.
Next up, you have Shane McMahon versus Roman Reigns.
And this was Shane McMahon.
One, thanks to
Colonel McSweaty Bollocks. the greatest professional wrestler in the world. You know what happened here, right?
He sweat his way for the match?
No. There were two very notable things that happened during this match. Do you know what they are?
No, because I really wasn't paying attention to this match too often.
Okay, the first thing is that Shane McMahon at Super Showdown just handed Roman Reigns his first pinfall loss since returning from beating leukemia.
Okay. Yep, that is one fact, yep.
The other thing is that there was no tsunami warning, given how much the fucker was going to sweat. Because he sweats walking down the aisle in an air-conditioned building. Can you imagine how much he was sweating in a ring in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia? Also, and then Drew fucking Galloway picks him up on his shoulders like, flat bang, putting that man's ball sweat on the back of his neck. The sweatiest man alive.
Shit. But Shane would win thanks to the Claymore kick by Drew McIntyre on Roman Reigns. Then we have the 3-on-1 handicap match between the Lucha House Party and Lars Sullivan, which Lars would win via disqualification. And then he would destroy them outside the ring, which I'm assuming this is one of the two duds.
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
Can we also talk just a teeny tiny bit about how for months and months and months and months Lars Sullivan has been this absolute freak of nature monster. And then in his very first match, has to win by DQ.
If I remember right, hold on, let me read it. The reason that he...
I don't care about the reason.
I think it was because they refused to get out of the ring and kept going after him. And they ignored.
I don't care about the reason. Don't care about the reason. The point is, if you are building someone up as a monster, he should have just wrecked all three of them. There shouldn't have been a them refusing to tag out. It should have been the three people on the floor in pools of their own blood, piss, and vomit.
So next up, you have Orton versus Triple H. Solid match. This was almost to the likings of how they fought when they rivaled against each other back in the early 2000s and stuff like that, or throughout the 2000s. Mm. So, I mean, it was a good, solid match. You can really take their WrestleMania match from when they wrestled for the WWE title back then. And put that match literally right next to each other, and it was pretty much the same fucking match.
Mm-hmm.
But it was enjoyable, and I like watching the two go at it. But that's just me. And Orton actually got the win, which to a lot of people surprised people, because we all thought that would have been a win for Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, actually, the way they did the finish was like, I felt like the finish was a little sloppy, because when Orton hit that RKO out of nowhere, like, the way Triple H took it just looked like it wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
But that was the finish, and Orton got the match. And then they showed a little bit of how Jinder Mahal won the WWE 24/7 title by pinning R-Truth on the tarmac, and then how R-Truth got the title back on the airplane. Next up, you had Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley. I didn't care for this match, and Braun won.
Mm-hmm.
So
again, it was just two people. Smacking crap out of each other, really.
Yeah.
Two big burly boys.
Like, let's put it in perspective like this. When we had the Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns feud, those matches were actually enjoyable to watch. You take out Roman Reigns and you put in Bobby Lashley, who doesn't have the appeal as like Roman Reigns does.
Mm-hmm.
It just falls flat. And there's really no true good chemistry between Strowman and Lashley.
No, I'm not saying it was a good match. I'm just saying it literally was just two slabs of meat hitting each other.
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
Then next up, you have Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston. for the WWE title, which Kofi would retain, and Ziggler would claim that he was screwed over, and because Xavier was out at ringside, and thus challenging Kofi to a rematch inside of Steel Cage at Stomping Grounds, which we eventually got. Then you had the 50-man Battle Royal, which Samoa Joe flat out said in an interview was the most chaotic thing to try to prepare for.
I can imagine.
Because it was just, because he even said it, and you could see it when you, if you watched it. When you had all 50 men in there, they couldn't move.
You know that you got a feel for EC3, right?
Oh, dude, I feel so bad.
Because he had to fly all the way to fucking Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And he was in that battle royal for like 15 seconds.
Yeah, because he was the first elimination.
And they didn't even catch it on camera.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. But it did see the return of Akam from injury. And it saw the return of Sin Cara from injury. Sin Cara, you notice more than Akam, though. Because Sin Cara was able to at least put out some offense because the crowd thinned out a bit in that ring. So he could actually move around in that match. Also, I find it very weird that Chad Gable cut his hair. I did not recognize him at all.
I thought it was awesome that he showed up on 205 Live this week.
Yes.
And Gallagher had a hell of a match.
And then Mansoor Al-Shihal.
Right, let's talk about this for a minute.
He was the winner of the Battle Royal.
An NXT talent.
Who has not been on TV yet.
Yeah. So, there were a bunch of people doing predictions for this. And not one of them predicted Mansoor. Right?
Yep.
Had I been doing predictions, I'd have predicted Mansoor. You know why? Do you know why?
Why?
Because he's the only Saudi Arabian wrestler on the fucking card. There was no way he wasn't winning. Not with the amount of Saudi money that's involved.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I mean, and there had been also rumors about Matt Riddle going to be part of it.
Yeah, showing up to ruin, because he talked about showing up to ruin Brock Lesnar's cash-in, right?
Yeah, he talked about ruining the cash-in on Raw. Did you see the
tweets he was making? Shitting on Goldberg!
Yeah. Dude, he was shitting on Goldberg going into it. He was shitting on Goldberg coming out of it. Like, damn. The King of Bros does not feel love towards Goldberg.
Who should at this point? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
which actually, this is the greatest segue ever, because the last match is Goldberg versus Taker. Which you could tell that Taker was like super pissed off.
Well, let's start with the fact that Goldberg concussed himself before he even left his locker room.
Okay, so it depends on where you want to blame it. So there's the talk that he concussed himself before he came out because he always does the headbutt to the door.
He literally said he knocked himself out in his dressing room.
But then he also came out and openly said that he knocked himself out when he went into the ring post that busted him open.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was both.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was both, too.
So
it's like, but watch, he says he's going to retire it. If he comes back, he won't do it again. But if he comes back, he's going to do it again. Because he's concussed himself so many times that he's not going to remember that he said that he wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and who had the longer entrance, Goldberg or Taker?
Don't care. The only time Goldberg's ever done a decent entrance recently is when it was Grado about 10 years ago.
Well, Well, for the record, it was Goldberg's entrance that was longer than The Undertaker's. But, okay. Yeah, I know. But as everyone knows, the finish was rushed because Goldberg was fucking up left and right. So Taker did a piss-poor chokeslam because of how Goldberg took it and pretty much said, you're staying down. Got the pin, 1, 2, 3, and that's the match.
Yeah, because they fucked up a lot.
Well, Taker, you could tell, was just fuming at Goldberg.
And then there was the Instagram post that was basically stop trotting Taker out, let him fucking retire.
Yeah.
And Taker liked it.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that too. I was like, yeah, that's because Taker wants to retire, man. The dude's been wanting to retire. I think the guy's been wanting to retire for like the last 3 to 4 years now.
Yeah. I can't blame them for taking the fucking payday. But I don't know.
Well, that was Super Showdown.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk a bit about, before we get into our final segment, I did want to talk a little bit about my references in the last show as to why Double or Nothing kind of did nothing. And conversely, how NXT was a better show. Because every match on TakeOver meant something. You can now say that Matt Riddle, whoever won Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong is next in line for a shot at the Velveteen Dream. Right?
Yep. Or Adam Cole.
Well, no, because Adam Cole's going to have the rubber match with Gargano, where with Jonathan Q wrestling Gargano, where in my head, canon Candice LeRae joins the Undisputed Era, because that would be the best fucking booking ever. No one would see it coming except me, because I'm a fucking genius.
You had a
hang on. Is that better, Ravendale? So Twitch haven't been able to hear me since the break.
Oops.
But you've got the recording, right?
Yeah, I got the recording.
Okay.
Yeah, I have the recording.
So as I said, Cole and Gargano have to have their rubber match because, and as I said before, the rubber match where Candice LeRae joins the Undisputed Era because it's brilliant and I'm a fucking genius. The tag team titles meant something. The women's title meant something. The North American title meant something. The world title meant something. It's such a better put together show than Double or Nothing. Not to say that the action on Double or Nothing was bad. Just most of the matches didn't mean anything because we don't know what wins and losses will mean in AEW yet.
Yeah.
So,
and to piggyback off of that, like you said, the matches of TakeOver, each match had a meaning to it.
Yeah.
I think the meaning of Double or Nothing is the event as a whole was the meaning.
Yeah.
The fact that the event was taking place compared to, you know, NXT, which is more established. We know all the storylines and stuff like that, to where every match does have a meaning to it.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I think honestly, I'm going to throw this out there. I think All Out will be the pay-per-view where hopefully every match outside of the title match will have meaning to it.
Mm.
I think because it's the pay-per-view right before they go onto TNT. So they're going to want that. So they're definitely going to want whatever happens at All Out to carry over the TNT.
Yes.
So, all right. So one more break and then fantasy booking?
Yep.
All righty. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to do some fantasy booking. And what we're going to do, you're going to find out when we come right back. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesome Mania. It's the final segment. It's the fantasy booking. Ben, and we got a good one. We are because October is a time of change. You got SmackDown with its okay, decently looking new logo, moving the Fox.
The rumor of Renee Young fronting a new WWE news show on Fox.
Yep, on FS1.
Yep.
And of course, AEW coming to TNT.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time in 18 years.
It's a bit special, isn't it?
Yeah. So we decided here on Awesome Mania, how would you book the first episode of AEW on TNT? Everything we're going to say ain't going to fucking happen, but let's do it anyway.
You want me to go first or you want to go first?
Why don't you go first? Because
you
always have me go first and then you make me look bad. Okay. At least this time you'll look amazing and then I'll come in and be like, yeah, you just fucked me up the ass on this one.
So I've got two different versions of my show.
Go for it. I want to hear it.
I have the reality show and I have the what if contracts weren't a thing show.
Okay.
So the other thing is we know it's going to be a 2-hour show.
Yep.
So I have allowed for 8 segments, not including promos, not including backstage stuff. I'm talking about 8 in-ring segments. Okay.
Cool.
So the first show, this is the reality show. Okay. Starts with the first segment. I described it as AEW / TNT self-fellatio. Because we know it's going to just be a big thing and promos to be like, this is the first wrestling on Turner Networks in 18 years, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Yep.
I think this is going to get crashed by Jon Moxley. Setting up the main event of the first hour. Okay?
Yep. I'm following.
But I think that's going to sort of, because that's going to take so long, I've given that like 1.5 segments. Right?
Yep.
Then I think that will be followed by a match, which to keep his streak going of being in the first singles match of various things, will feature Kip Sabian because he was in the first singles match at Double or Nothing.
Yep.
And I think it'll be Kip Sabian against Darby Allin because I think those two would work really well together. And then the main event of the first hour is going to be slightly longer because it is Jon Moxley versus Cody Rhodes with MJF, of course. Then we go into the second hour, which would start with Sadie Gibbs and Britt Baker in a tag team match against Ali and Nyla Rose. It would then go to Joey Janela versus Dustin Runnels. Again, I'm not doing any promos here. So just to give you a bit of information, the Cody Moxley thing is obviously going to be based off the WWE AEW thing, right? Sadie Gibbs and Britt Baker are two ready-made faces for the women's division. They've already kind of put the women's division on Britt Baker's back. Also doesn't help that she's dating Adam Cole. She's Adam Cole's baby, if you will. And Ali and Nyla Rose are supposed to have a match at... No, wait. Ali and Brandy are supposed to have a match at...
Fight for the Fallen.
Fight for the Fallen. And Brandy has said that she's bringing Awesome Kong along. So I think Ali is going to recruit Nyla as muscle. That's why I think that might be.
I actually can see that.
Okay. Then I want to do a big... after the Moxley match at Fyter Fest, I want Janella to kind of start picking out Dustin Runnels. And being like, I can wrestle better than you and I can bleed better than you, because one of the big things that happened at Double or Nothing was all the blood.
Yeah.
Leading to them having a match at All Out. And this would be a rematch from All Out. Then in your seventh segment, Adam Page against Sean Spears. I think that would be a great match.
I think that would be a great match too.
And then you in the eighth segment, you would have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defeating SCU for their AEW Tag Team Championships. Ooh. That's the reality version. Okay.
I like how you went with Funkasaurus and Jungle Boy together.
Yeah, the Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are A, already a tag team, and B, over as fuck.
Yeah. I only saw like the snippet of them at Double or Nothing for the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching what they did. So.
So the fantasy version is much the same. But you cut the Joey Janela Dustin Runnels match. And what happens is after Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus win the tag team titles, the last thing that happens is Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are in the ring celebrating and they get jumped by two very familiar folks who are referred to as the Mechanics. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who instantly cash in on a clause in there that they had Brandy write into their contracts, which guarantee them a title shot at any point, and decimate the already beaten down Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, winning the AEW Tag Team Championships on the first episode of whatever they're calling their TV show.
Which we don't even know yet.
Yep. Also cementing a massive ship jump from WWE. Also igniting the flame under the internet wrestling community that everyone's wanted to see this match. This because it sets up them against the Young Bucks, right? Let's be fair.
Yep.
So that's how I would book. But we know that the Mechanics contracts aren't up until 2020.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I had thought potentially might happen is you would have Kenny Omega come out at the end to cut a promo and he would be interrupted by Marty Scurll, but Marty Scurll's contract doesn't end with Ring of Honor till November.
Yep.
So, because I want to see Kenny and Marty wrestle. I think that would be an amazing match.
All right. So.
What do you got?
So.
I am very interested to hear your card.
So as we all know, we have no fucking clue about how wins and losses factor.
Yeah. That's why I booked what I booked. Because even if wins and losses don't matter, there's a feud in all of it.
Yeah. So. How I would actually do the first AEW is normally what I think is going to happen is they're going to unveil the wins and losses, how that plays a factor on being the elite. I think that's how they're really going to do it. But how I would do it is that I would actually do that at the open of AEW on TNT.
Part of the self-fellatio, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Part of the self-fellatio. I would actually have Cody Rhodes on the mic and go, we've always said that wins and losses are going to matter. And
how many segments have you given yourself?
I didn't give myself any segments. I just kind of booked.
All right.
And Cody goes out. He says, wins and losses are going to matter. This is how it's going to matter, you know, and, you know, unveil something.
Mm-hmm.
Which would then lead up to, it's kind of like a little future thing too, but it's kind of sets the base of how you get to your next number one contender for the AEW title.
Mm.
So, and it kind of lays the foundation and the very first match, and I'm actually going to follow suit with you on this one, is Kip Sabian being in the first ever singles match as well, because I like that.
I'm also a massive Kip Sabian mark.
So. I enjoyed watching him wrestle.
I'm going to be a mark for English wrestlers. Like, let's be fair.
Yeah, that's also true.
Out of interest, since you're saying, and this is something I need to tell you my opinion on as well.
All right.
Since you're saying they're going to unveil
the
wins and losses matter and how that's the first number one contender.
Well, that's how I would do it.
Who do you think the first number one contender will be?
So I'm going to go against...
Who do you think is going to win? Jericho or Hangman?
I think Hangman's going to win. Okay. I think the whole point of having Jericho in the match is to put over Hangman.
What?
So that way when he gets the title, it has a bigger impact. The one person who I would automatically want to put into that spot of who would take over eventually as a number one contender for the wins losses setup would be MJF, but it's not going to be MJF for me.
Right. Hear me out here, right? What if we don't see MJF wrestle? Because my idea would be MJF doesn't wrestle until at least 2020 TV.
Kind of like just take the fall and the winter off and then...
No, like he's there. But he's always like accompanying Cody to the ring. Or... Because like we're going to see him in the match at Fyter Fest, right? And the other three people in that match fucking hate that guy. What if for a little while he was like, I'm just going to chill. And he just cuts promos and gains heat until he's forced into the ring by something.
And that's why I don't have him as going into that number one contendership right now. Because I kind of see the same.
So who do you see as the number one contender?
You know, it's really tough, but I think it's going to be Sean Spears. And the reason I think it's going to be Sean Spears is because he has that old, and as you mentioned at the very top of the show about how he told Vince that he's insulting the intelligence of wrestling fans. I think he's going to carry on that, and he's going to use that to catapult him. Mm. And I think AEW is even going to utilize that.
Oh, there is something I wanted to bring up.
Go for it.
I didn't bring this up because I just remembered it. I had three other versions of this card written out, all of which I had to throw out. Because all of them were headlined by Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega.
Well, how ironic.
Because I thought, oh, they're going to do the payoff for the jump, him getting jumped at Double or Nothing on their first TV show.
Oh, but you know what? They announced it today then.
And then literally this afternoon, Cody's like, yeah, about that.
Cody knew what you wanted and said, nah, just let you know, this is what's really happening. But my first match would be Kip Sabian. Actually, I would have him against Christopher Daniels.
You still haven't told me. Oh, yeah, you said Sean Spears would be the new number one contender.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Sean Spears would eventually become that number one contender for the loss setup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have Kip Sabian versus Christopher Daniels in the first TNT singles match for AEW. then I would also have actually what I would do is that I would actually have the rematch of Brandi Rhodes versus Ali on TNT with Awesome Kong and Nyla in the respective corners.
Okay.
So I'm kind of taking what's, you know, it's kind of like the rematch.
From Fight for the Fallen.
So it'd be that rematch. Yeah, because they're fighting. Yeah, because they're fighting a Fight for the Fallen.
Because it's the triple threat of Fighter Fest, right?
Yeah. So that would be that right there. So that way you get your first women's match on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would, I would probably throw a tag team match in there. I don't have names off the top of my head, so sorry. But then the second hour, that second hour would be dedicated to the kickstart of getting, of how we would find out who would eventually become the number one contender. So you'd have a series of matches. You'd have like Sean Spears versus Joey Janela. You know, maybe, you'd have to find a way to put Moxley and Omega on there, you know, because they're the big names. But I would have that hour dedicated to just singles matches that have the whole wins loss matters, and you'd have like a scorecard up of saying, hey, this guy has won this match, this guy has lost, and then you just and now I'm kind of going ahead of myself, and so you keep it going week after week after week on television. You make it a focal point until you get to that point where you name your number one contender, which I would have Sean Spears.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how I would do it, because you're okay. You do your setup.
So you'd end up having Sean Spears go over either Jericho or Omega.
At some point, but not right away.
How?
I think it would be.
Bear in mind that Kenny Omega is widely believed to be the best wrestler in the world.
Right, and rightfully so.
I would disagree, but okay.
Well, rightfully so amongst.
Yes, there is definitely evidence to support this theory. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and he's well respected in the locker room, so it's there. It's one of those things you can't do it right away, and it's where the wins losses can come into play. So say you get to a point where it's like. Omega. So
you think that like Omega and Jericho are just going to keep running into each other and not getting as many wins as, say, a Sean Spears might, rather than doing like a tournament format?
See, and that's the thing. It's like, because I've been playing with the idea off and on, and it's like, I would go with
it. Maybe we can talk about this next time.
Yeah, let's talk about next time, because there's like... For me, it was just about, you know, wins and losses.
Because there's a very interesting implication here, which is someone can become number one contender without beating great people. It's because they would have to put in something like, you know how like college sports have strength of schedule factored in?
Yep.
They're going to have to do something like that. Because if Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega are wrestling each other and getting wins and losses there, if Sean Spears just beats a jobber 15 times, still 15 wins.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing that I had the difficulty, because I did go with the idea of, like, let's do a tournament. But would you really want to have your first televised events be with a tournament?
No, but it could be like the first couple of matches.
Yeah, I know. And I know that. But that was the thing that I kept playing, going back and forth with all week when I decided that, yeah, we would do, you know, let's book the first episode of AEW on TNT. Like, because I've been playing with it all week before I had sent it over to you yesterday.
So you had a lot more preparation time than I did.
That's because... You destroyed me. I wanted to give myself some type of chance.
Fair. All right, so...
You're still the king of it, though.
Let's wrap up.
Yes. Ben, where can the people find you on the social media?
You can find me at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter, and you can find the channel at 321 Podcast on Twitter. Mike?
You can find me on Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and of course, txhthockey.com/awesomemania, where you can find our archive, our Hall of Fame, and our current episode. And also, because it is on a hockey website, I just want to say, A, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues for winning the Stanley Cup last night.
Yep.
B, thank you for ending it last night, which had no choice but to end it last night, because now I get a fucking break till October.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to be dominating the website for a while.
Yeah, baby.
So a hockey site is going to be dominated by a wrestling podcast. And, of course, next month. What's up next month?
We're going to be heading to Wilkes Comic Con. There will be a live Awesome Mania there. But stay tuned for more of that. And thank you for listening.
Yep. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, until next time, we will see you ringside.